This is from the new international version, which I just realized, and I'm not sure I want to do. So, do you have a particular translation you'd prefer?
I'm open. Anything but the interpretation that is the message. Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
My name is Susanna Bales. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of Georgia, and I am about to read Psalm 100. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with celebration. Come before him with shouts of joy. Know that the Lord is God. He made us, we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his own pasture. Enter his gates with thanks. Enter his courtyards with praise. Thank him, bless his name. Because the Lord is good, his loyal love lasts forever, his faithfulness lasts generation after generation.
Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, what catches you? What sticks out to you? The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, the first one is we got some super gendered Lord in this one. I am willing to play in the space. I think that is a movable feast. And so today, in this particular moment, God's feeling some he, him. We'll just roll with it. But as long as we don't make that conclusive and exclusive, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So that jumped out to me. There's a particular kind of relationship being named here. The other thing that jumps out to me about this is like the playful, like jubilation of it. Is that how you say that word? I don't even know. But like, be really happy is the tone. And that's sometimes a bigger ask, I think, with praise. And I think there are other places in scripture that make room for that, but this is one of those happy praise psalms. We were talking about like earlier, off recording, like there are these moments, I think, when there's praise stuff coming up in the Bible, that's like, relate to God this way, make sure that you let God know how important God is and how special God is and how God's the very, very best. Please keep letting God know. God needs to know that. Make sure, are you letting God know? And so that can be sort of out of balance, I think, sometimes. So I read this in a slightly nuanced way because of that. So like one of the things that I say sometimes like is God is not a narcissist. God is secure in God's godness. Like that's okay.
So God feels okay.
Yeah. God's okay. You're okay. We're okay. The idea that like, if that's not what this is, and if we can kind of like, you know, push pause on the idea that God needs that constant approving of God's role in godness, then we're talking about something different. Then this is an invitation of some kind of relationship. And it makes me think about the way that we're wired, like neurobiologically, the way that we're wired. So if this isn't about soothing a God that's feeling insecure, which would make no sense, that it's about us doing something. And that something is recognizing what God is doing and where God is and where we are in relationship to that. So the idea starts to feel like wherever you go, be grateful and show up and be awake to that. And if you're really awake to that, you're going to see it everywhere. And that feels really different. That feels like kind of more the practice of ongoing gratitude. And that's not as like, not to, I don't know how I even feel about using this word, but I am going to use it, manically happy. it's more a welling up of the, this is good. And there's something about that, that for us neurobiologically actually makes a difference. So if we do this, it doesn't change God, but it changes us. There's this part of our brain, the RAS, that I was actually just like running across today. And I thought, oh my goodness, Psalm 100 today when I saw it. Like I was reading about gratitude practices because, you know, prayer practice and all this research around gratitude practices. But one of the things that the RAS does is it's looking for patterns. And so when you practice gratitude, it's the same way, like if you go buy a car, then you start to see that car everywhere. If you make a practice of being grateful or being awake to what God is doing in the world, then you start to see it everywhere and you feel differently because of it. So right. When I read these really, really old things that talk about being grateful and talk about noticing what's good, I read it differently, having learned about some of that neurobiology and being like, oh, okay, this isn't a upside down relationship. This is a partnership with a relationship that's worth being celebrated, that begins before us and continues after us. And we are part of,
I think that's really amazing. And it's so interesting in contrast with kind of what, you know, some of the commentaries talk about, or, and maybe even what the kind of psalmist was aiming for, which is this kind of, so, you know, the way these words and the kind of Hebrew words that are used here, it's about like orienting one's whole life and existence to kind of a sovereign master, right? Mm-hmm. To be the servant of a monarch. It's like this Psalter in the Psalms relationship to a royal master. And that is just so different from how I think about God, you know? And I think, you know, there's also a lot different relationship in the ancient Near East, right? So it's not, I think I do a lot of unintentional, like imposing my context onto that context. And then it just, not the same. Mm-hmm. But I do think one of the things we see consistently throughout the Bible is this idea that God as monarch is not what, you know, any human as monarch has ever been, right? And so I think, you know, if we are to, I don't know, loosely interpret this, I think, you know, even if that is where we go, it's not the same as like bringing your gold and silver to the monarch to show them you love them. And it's about relationship, like you said, right? It is about this way of being together and way of being with God that kind of leads with this joy, right? And I think, yeah, joy and happiness, whether or not those two words are different, could be argued, but I think for me, at least intellectually, like this idea of joy has a fullness to it. Mm-hmm. Right? When we think about like gratitude practices and things that kind of draw us into the headspace that allows gratitude to flow through our life, I think there is a joy that is kind of centering in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is fullness is a lovely word for that, I think. Because that's different than happy. And that's like, as I look at the words there, I can see that the monarch distinction is so important. Like one, like the context being so different. And also letting that change over time. And you see that play out in scripture over the course of like the books trying to work out how this is going to be. And God being like, but how about this way? And people be like, cool. Okay. We got it. Right. No, let's try again. Okay. Like, right. Fine. No. Have a king. All right. That didn't go well either. Like, just
Right? Like, God, we need a king. We need a king. Like, you don't need a king. You've got me. Yes. I'm with you. I'm for you. We need a king. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't. We don't want a king.
So this sense of like, okay, if God is monarch, but not like any monarch that we have built in our own eyes, like with power over, then that does look slightly different. And how much like the ancient writers at any of these moments when they're writing this, how much they're awake to that, I think is valid. I think that the ancient context is valid, and I think that the modern context is valid, and they're kind of in dialogue together. And different people feel differently about that. That's just where I'm at. But I think that that's a really spacious place, because then you can have a bad day, you can have a bad season, and you can still give yourself room for what brings you deep gladness, even on the worst day. And you could also have the perspective of generation after generation, that it's not just about this day, it's not just about this season, that there is something bigger than you, and that you are in those courtyards, and that you are held. And that's a really different like space to be in. And that's that, over all the twists and turns and hills and valleys of life, has been really kind of sustaining for me, is like trying to just name, like, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. I don't have any good eloquent words for the sense of, no matter what has gone on, I have at times felt held. And the language of this psalm is, I am in the courtyards. I am in the pasture. And that makes me glad.
Yeah. I love that. And I do, you know, when we hit that beginning of verse 3, know that the Lord is God. He made us, we belong to him. You know, when you think of kind of a traditional monarch, and belonging to a monarch is like gross. Mm-hmm. But I also think in our kind of individualistic driven society, to believe that we belong to something other than ourselves.
Yes.
And that we belong to each other, and that we belong to God. I think there is something deeply important there.
I agree. Yeah. I think that's something that I am in the middle of really highlighting and underlining in my own kind of way I want to work in the world. When we think about belonging to something, and not just us, that I belong to God and you belong to God, and the person that's behind me in traffic making my life miserable belongs to God, and that person that I'm arguing with right now belongs to God, and that changes how we orient to things.
So we're in Easter. What do we do with this, right? What does this say to an Easter people?
I mean, the first kind of two things in this passage are show up invitations. Like, show up, there's work to do. Serve is in that second sentence. But also to wake up to what is around, and to have a sense of wonder, particularly Eastery wonder here, because it's talking about triumph. I'm going to let the ordained elder in the conversation speak to that more than I will, but I do think that there's something there of like, the worst has happened, and it has not been the last word. There's a new word. And what is that word?
Yeah. And triumph looks like being willing to die for your friends, and knowing that's going to work out okay for you. That, like, actually, ultimately, that is what has the power to, you know, break the things that, you know, chain us and hold us back. And
connected to, if we are redefining monarch, we are also redefining triumph.
Right. That's kind of the whole Jesus thing, right?
It really is. It's like, and it's really particular. Like, I've studied a lot of like different traditions and orientations and hung out in a lot of different places. There's a real script flip with the Jesus story, very specifically.
Yeah. Which, you know, isn't necessarily a call for us to like go out and try to suffer as much as you can, but it is to say like, oh yeah, like serve with celebration, because we get to do life with the one who has triumphed over hell and death. We get to do life in a way that fills us up and that cares about the people on the margins, and that you know, does all these things that are so against what our everyday is. That is the promise of this season. Will you pray for us?
Sure. Yeah.
Which last time you told me that was a super loaded question, but
I will. I'm trying to think right now. It's like, okay, we're in Lent 4, but it's probably an Easter-y prayer that we're talking about. But let's pray kind of a time traveler's prayer, which I've just invented as an idea. But whenever you're listening to this, because it's an audio medium and will exist on the interwebs somehow, that people can interface with at some point. So wherever you are, if you are anywhere in your, whatever your sacred calendar is, your ritual year is, do what you do when you get connected with the holy. Do what you do when you pray. What I do is I get settled down and I notice where my breath is. And I try to take maybe one of the deeper breaths I've taken in the day. Pray with me in your own way and in your own time, your literal calendar time, your little literal time of the day. In this time travel between Lent and Easter, between our time and God's time, we are invited to just touch base and check in and walk our way into the courtyard. Remember that we're in the pasture, and to breathe that in and to be grateful that our fences that we put up, they both have meaning and they are helpful. And also those fences can move around, that we can free range a little bit with God while God is in charge. And that is a good thing. And it began before us. It goes on beyond us. And we're just invited to participate. And God, we are grateful for that. We're grateful that we are held. We're grateful that your time is not our time. And we are grateful that we are invited to meet you in it. And for that, we give you praise, sometimes with words, sometimes with breath, and sometimes with song. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, friend. What a gift.
Thank you. Good to see you.